Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast featuring Dave Cariello, Andrew Juge, Ralph Malbro, and when he decides to show up, Kevin Hell. We are the perfect blend of Saints sincerity and stupidity.
How many RPMs would it take for the Juliocopter to actually fly away, and how many fumbles would happen as a result?
Well, that's a trick question because you can only fumble once.
If you're not having fun when your team is 11-2 and winning back-to-back division titles for the first time in 50 years, then you need to stop watching.
And now, here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
Oh my God, it really happened.
I love it.
We have a brand new open. I will get to that in just a second.
And the live stream is working.
I hope you bought canned goods. The apocalypse is upon us. But before the apocalypse happens, I want to tell you about our friends at TickSplits, the official ticket provider of the Armchair Media Network. Unlike other ticket providers that sneak in extra fees and unexplained service charges, at TickSplits, the price you see is the price you pay. If you want to see your favorite player get in his licks, maybe that's Hakeem Nicks, Hakeem Hicks, or Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, go to TixBlitz.com, enter the promo code ARMCHAIR at checkout to receive 5% off your total ticket purchase. That's TixBlitz.com. Promo code ARMCHAIR, TixBlitz, guaranteed seats, guaranteed emotions.
What the hell is going on? You read the ad right? The new intro? What is this, Bizarro World?
All right. Yeah, booking the territory just said on our chat room that it was a nice opening. Take shelter. The live stream is working. The end is near.
By the way, quick plug. Mike helped me with the live stream Saturday, and we did a drunk history on Ricky Jackson. That'll be posting Friday. Check that out. But you're going to have to pay $7 a month to get that sweet baby. All right. Look, before we get to Saints news, we got to talk about the open. Let's just be honest. You people, when I first sent it to you, you hated it. Andrew, you said it was worse than the open we had. This is why bands break up, I think. It really hurt my feelings.
I think the words I used were unspeakable trash.
Yes. It was terrible. The problem was twofold. One, the music that I looked for, it sucked so bad that I tried to hide the crappiness of the music by making jokes and having sound bites. So that was such a disaster. I got so frustrated with it, I just cut out everybody's name and just dropped in the jokes. And y'all were like, where's everybody's names? How are they going to know who the fuck we are? And my wife told me that when I did it, but I was like, I don't even care. Andrew, tell the people, after you heard it, you're like, Ralph, I will find you music. Tell the people what you asked me, what I wanted for the music, the vibe that I wanted.
Oh yeah. Let's see. I think the exact words you said were, I want John Wick murdering people. And all I have to say is, if you listen to that music I just provided, I delivered.
It is.
Nailed it.
I have to say, I totally understand why Andrew is successful in his life, booking bands and doing all the music stuff he did, because he did in 45 minutes last night what I couldn't do in a week listening to shitty royalty free music.
Thanks, pal.
So
it's true.
Dave, your thoughts? You're like the star of the new open. You got the best jokes.
I don't know if we wanted to divulge this, but there is an alternate opening that we may or may not.
We may.
And I feel like I'm also the star in that one too. So all I can say is you're welcome.
It's true. I mean, but I felt like I had to go where the comedy was, and those are the best. Clips I can find, but we'll.
You know why it makes me feel good? Because look, Andrew, we all have our roles here. Ralph, you're the host. Andrew, he's the one that actually provides thoughtful and insightful Saints news and all that. And I can be funny sometimes, so that's it.
Sometimes.
The Zodiocopter.
Sometimes. Sometimes. Let's not get carried away here. Sometimes.
It's nice to be appreciated, and it's nice for my best work to really come through and be highlighted. And by the way, speaking of me...
Dave really needed the ego.
I did want to give a shout-out to Kenneth Arduan, who came by the store, and he had me pass along a message to Ralph saying, get a new fucking show open. And so
you motivated me.
It did
really
Bang,
motivate me.
Baby.
That's for you, Ken. And but anyway, but thanks for coming in the store. It's always nice to meet listeners.
You should have come in the store 2 years ago.
Where have you been the last 2 years?
If that's all it took.
But he came in and he had such nice things to say about the show and us. And, he had mentioned he had been in a motorcycle accident, and he listened to us, while he was laid up in bed, and, we helped him get through, some of those, that tough time. So it's humbling. It's humbling to know that there's actually people out there. So thank you.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it is. And,
awesome.
The people were really excited about when I told them that I had the new open done. Side note, I was so excited that I got it done, I accidentally texted Nick Underhill. I texted Nick Underhill, assholes, I got the new opens ready. And Nick texted me back, you're an asshole. I texted him back, thumbs up, completely deserved. Name drop as he leaves
by the way,
us.
Yeah. By the way, everyone, Ralph texts with Nick Underhill. That's the takeaway here. That's what he was trying to get across, in case you were curious.
It is. Name drop.
That was subtle, Ralph. Subtle.
It was. It was real subtle.
And by the way, Nick, we know where Nick is going now, right?
He's gone.
Yeah.
So
yeah. No, but we know where he's going.
Yeah, the Athletic. Yep.
The Athletic. Every other sports writer on Earth, where they all go. Go ahead, Dave.
Just saying. I mean, they're willing to pay the money, so
here
people are going to know where the money is.
Here's my only criticism of The Athletic. Could one fucking person that goes to The Athletic just tweet out the Mad Men clip of Don Draper saying, that's what the fucking money is for, instead of like 600 words about how they're going to do amazing work at The Athletic. Just be like, they paid me a giant bag of money, so I'm working there. Like, just one person. I just want one person to do that.
It's not 600 words. It's really like 150, and then it cuts off. At least for me.
No, because whenever they have a new person, they let you read that one for free.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So the Saints, Dave, had actual news. Jared Cook is not official, but it's getting closer. He may or may not be signed by August.
Closer, warmer.
I feel like I'm in that moment where I have my Jared Cook jersey. I haven't purchased it on NFL.com, but it's in the queue, and I'm
You're getting reminder emails every day that there's an item in your cart that you need to check out.
That's true.
God, by the way, have you guys ever shopped on that NFLshop.com? Their emailing is nonstop. Like, I get 5 emails a day from them.
If only there was a mechanism where you could click to somehow unsubscribe from emails.
But then I'm gonna miss something, you know. Then I'm gonna miss, you know.
Dave doesn't want to miss that 60% off of Saints
the Willie Snead jersey. I want the 90% off the Willie Snead jersey.
What ex Saints player in the last few years, if you saw their jersey at a TJ Maxx for like $8, would you be super excited to get?
Well, it's funny you should ask this, because
Browner.
For me, my brother-in-law, I actually got her this for her birthday. My brother-in-law is engaged, and there is zero chance that his fiance is listening to this podcast right now or ever. But her name is Meredith, so I got her a Cam Meredith jersey for her birthday. It's probably, like, besides Cam Meredith's family, I'm assuming the only Cam Meredith jersey, Saints jersey, that's been purchased since he signed. But I did.
He
I did
represents all that is soulless and wrong.
That's you, Juge.
Yeah. Well.
Now Meredith re-signed, right? Didn't he? Isn't he in did. That news too?
He yeah, didn't re-sign. News. He took a pay cut.
Well, yeah, yeah. Well, you're right. Well, he.
He was under contract. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Saints were probably like, "We're going to cut you, or you take less money."
Definitely. Yeah.
And he took a massive pay cut. So, like, but I have to say, I think the Junior Gallette jersey for like $6 at TJ Maxx, I'd be ooh, pumped about. I couldn't wear it out that. In public, but I could wear it around my house, and it would be funny to me.
I mean, just like a PJ T-shirt or something.
Yeah. Ugh. Or maybe like
every time Al puts it on, he giggles a little bit.
Yeah.
See, I don't know, so, man. I feel like Junior Gallette is top five. Like, we should talk about this.
Jarris Bird. I think Jarris Bird would be my number one.
That you wouldn't wear?
I would wear. I would want. Like, he would be. Oh. I take it back. I don't want Gallette. Jarris Bird, because Jarris Bird has all the disappointment of Junior Gallette, but none of the beating on women and doing horrible things.
But
baggage.
What's the motivation here? Because if it's tongue in cheek, then that's one thing. But like, are we saying like cult hero jerseys? Like
no, any.
Brian
it just
Mellon
has to be.
Or,
it just has to be a jersey that you would see it. It can be anything you want. You would see it at TJ Maxx, and it would be $6, and you'd be like, "I'm getting that."
But it has like, to be like a rarity, or is it a
no? It could be whatever you want
for the Saints.
Oh, it could be whatever you want. Jarris Bird would be mine.
God damn, Juge, stop over fucking thinking this.
I mean, Jarris Bird just seems so random. Why? Why Jarris Bird?
I don't know. Because
it was such a disaster. Because it's so fucking ironic.
Because it like he demarks the beginning. He is the demarcation of the disaster starting. And the 7-9 sadness loop of 14, 15,
okay, but
and 16.
even if you're going tongue in cheek, like I can't find any justifiable reason that you would ever wear a Junior Gallette jersey.
Yeah, that's true. It was a bad choice by me. That's why I switched to Bird.
Okay, so you pick Bird, Dave. What do you pick?
I was just.
I
kidding.
Mean, can you go old school here? How far back can you go?
I mean, you got to be realistic. Ralph like, I would love a Troy Davis jersey, but I'm not getting that at the TJ Maxx.
Mm.
I don't know. Maybe Pierre Thomas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm going to go Brett Besch.
Oh, my God. Mario Bates.
Nice.
Lorenzo Neal before he got fat and turned into a fullback. We could go all day. So Dave, you brought up Cameron Meredith. He took a pay cut. That was actual Saints news this week too. And I want to say, I'm excited. Like, I'm excited the Saints brought him back. I think that's a potentially bigger deal than people make it out to be. What was your initial reaction to the Saints making poor Cam Meredith take a 70% pay cut?
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I'm happy about it. You know, last year he just didn't really seem to get healthy, and now he's got a whole other year, so it's possible maybe this year he finally turns into the receiver that everybody was expecting last year. But I like the fact that the Saints aren't ready to give up on him. So, like you said, it could be a sneaky under the radar signing. It could be one of the ones we look back, you know, at the end of next season, look back and saying, you know, that. Having Cam Meredith was a good, you know, just from a depth perspective and all that. I mean, he doesn't need to be, and nobody's expecting him to be amazing or to be, you know, some awesome red zone target for Drew Brees. But so, I mean, even if the Saints are able to get just a little production out of him, I'd call it a win for sure. And now he's. What do they got him down to, like $1.5 million or something like that?
Was yeah,
that
like 1.3 million, I think it was.
I mean, come on, that's a bargain.
I'm excited, Andrew. me and you were unreasonably excited about him last year. Like, we were texting each other YouTube clips of him, and I want to get back to the love affair that I had with him when they signed him last year. I feel like I don't want to give up on him, because his YouTube highlights for that 1 year that he had for the Bears was really nice. So, like, I like him. He could still be something. And his knee wasn't it like a totally destroyed knee? Like, it wasn't just one knee ligament. Wasn't it like the trifecta disaster knee injury?
Yes. Yeah, he blew it up completely. And I think it was even at the beginning of the season. So he missed the whole year, and you stood to think that he could maybe play and be okay just because he had a full year to recover. But obviously, he had to get that scoped and cleaned out midseason, and it knocked him out for the year. So, yeah, I mean, I think it was a good move by Meredith, because, I mean, if you think about it, like, Meredith is coming off IR after being on IR for a whole season. So if the Saints cut him, I mean, he's not getting any better than the minimum. Like, no one is. I mean, maybe he's getting an offer in training camp, and even then, like, he's not going to be high on the depth chart. You know, he's going to be battling for a roster spot. So I think he comes into a good situation with the Saints, where they haven't signed a receiver, and I mean, the number two spot behind Michael Thomas is up for grabs. And if he comes in healthy and plays well, he can still get that. So it's a good situation for him, and even taking a $2 million pay cut, he's still making more than the minimum with the Saints. So I think it would have been dumb for him to say, no, release me, I want to go elsewhere. I still think this is a good opportunity for him if he can get his leg right.
Yeah, I mean, and that brings it to a wider point about receiver. And I guess my question is this. Dave, it's my go-to question that I ask all the time. I'm giving you $200, and now you don't have to travel to Vegas. You can go to the Gulf Coast, because they got Eagle Eye Sports Gambling.
Here I come.
Beau Rivage, baby. I'm giving you $200, and I say, Cam Meredith, Traquan Smith, Kirk Underwood. what is it? Kirkwood. I made up a whole name there.
Kirk Underwood. Hey. It's like you know, you went all House of Cards on us.
Frank Underwood.
Do you know what his first name is, Ralph?
Keith. Keith. It's Keith Kirkwood.
Yeah, you nailed it. All right.
Well, Andrew, we got the live stream working. I nailed the Tick Splits ad. We got the new open. I mean,
you knew shit
this
was
going to go off the rails at some point.
Yeah, yeah. What more can you ask for?
Exactly. But if I said to you, Kirkwood, Meredith, Traquan Smith, $200, which one of them is catching 40-plus passes? Pick one.
Ooh, I think I'm still gonna go Traquan. I'm not ready to give up on him. I think in year two he can make a big jump, and I still think he's got a lot of potential. So
he's tweeting out pictures of he was working out with Michael Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, I still think you know, Kirkwood could have a decent year, and I still think Meredith's got a big hill to climb. I'm hopeful. I haven't given up on him, but yeah, I would say, but of all those, I still think Traquan Smith has the most potential.
Dave?
I was going to say Kirkwood.
I like Kirkwood, too.
I mean, he came
big
on strong last season.
He made the huge catch against Philadelphia, and I feel like, it wasn't so much that, you know, Ben Watson being out and Josh Hill being out and Kirkwood. It wasn't so much individually that they, you know, besides the ref fucking the Saints versus Rams, it's not that those guys individually being out was a tipping point, but all three of them, it was a huge deal. And I think he was becoming a nice player. He made the one touchdown against Dallas. I mean, he's interesting to me. I would pick him. I think the Saints like him, and I think he's going to be the guy that's going to catch at least 40.
You got to give him credit for two things. I mean, he feels like a plus version of Brandon Coleman, and also he prevented Brandon Marshall. Now you could argue that Brandon Marshall was most responsible for Brandon Marshall not playing, but he kept him on the bench. So
yeah, It's, I mean,
if I found a Brandon Marshall jersey for $5 at TJ Maxx, I would buy that.
Oh yeah, I would buy that. Dez Bryant also.
You could get Dez Bryant, Brandon Marshall, Willie Snead,
Champ Bailey.
Champ Bailey. You get the 4-pack for $11.
What was that linebacker that kept coming to training camp and retired like 7 times?
Dan Morgan,
yes.
Twice. Yeah.
He did that to us twice.
Yeah, it was twice, but who's counting?
yeah. Mr. Jessica Simpson, he would be another quality.
Ooh, Eric Johnson, yeah.
Eric, random Saints jersey.
We should just have a podcast where we seriously just name ex-Saints for a full hour.
Well, I'll get a.
In fact, let's do that now. Let's just go.
I'll just play the Jeopardy music and we'll just name Saints. We'll do that probably like the end of June.
You're getting your ass kicked in this game.
I know. My memory.
We should just have a podcast where I go to the black and gold shop, go to the discount rack, and just read all the jersey names.
we'll live stream it. Hey man, if we can have 10 people on the live stream that I didn't announce because I, in my heart, I didn't believe that it would work. If we can have 10 people just drop in randomly when I did it 2 minutes before the show started, I think if we announced it and it went off without a hitch, Dave, I think we could get 20, 22 people to listen to you live stream the discount rack at the Black and Gold store.
Let's do it.
So, in other Saints
news, we got listening right now that are live. How many do we have?
10.
We'll do it live.
We'll do it live. I need to get that sound too. Andrew, the other Saints news that is interesting is Robert Quinn visited the Cowboys last week. The Saints were reportedly interested. He reportedly visited the Saints today. And they had news that Ziggy Ansah, his agent, was like, teams aren't really interested until we get the second opinion on his back. And we know what's going on.
Shoulder.
So that tells me, this is my theory, that the Saints doctors, and we can make fun of the Saints doctors being terrible, Dave. We can take that as a given. But I think the Saints doctors looked at Ziggy Ansah's back and was like, there is no fucking way you were giving this guy $1 over the minimum. And the Saints went, okay. And they moved it along to Robert Quinn. Either one of you can jump in, but is that a fair theory for me to have?
I think it is. I mean, yeah. if they're poking around with Robert Quinn, and it's more complicated with Quinn now because they've got to first agree to a contract, then agree on compensation with the Dolphins, then acquire him. So there, it's more multifaceted and just more complicated than just signing Ziggy Ansah. So in my opinion, if Ansah was their guy, they wouldn't be exploring this. And my gut tells me that they've kind of decided against Ansah for the time being, unless either they don't like the contract that Quinn wants or they don't like the compensation that they'd have to give up, then maybe they'll go back to Ansah. But I got to think right now the Saints are kind of moving on for the time being.
Dave, your thoughts?
You know, the whole Quinn thing, I listened to your 7 minutes of Saints podcast where you talk about Robert Quinn. That's an attractive offer to me. The Dolphins, they're having a fire sale. I mean, they're in rebuild mode. You guys talked about Robert Quinn and what it would take to get him as far as compensation. The Dolphins actually are willing to take a 2020 draft pick, not 2019. And that's good news for the Saints because they don't have any 2019 draft picks. I'm only exaggerating slightly. But they've got, I don't know exactly what they have in 2020, but I'm going to assume that they have more draft picks in 2020 than they do in 2019.
They do right now, but right. They haven't had the 2019 draft yet.
So, I mean, and I believe that the Dolphins are also, I think they did it with one player so far this offseason, where they're willing to pay part of his of
they did
their
it with Tannehill.
Salary.
They paid his they paid part of his salary to get a better pick back.
I mean, the Dolphins are really just they're just trying to accumulate as much cap space and assets and you know, draft picks, that kind of stuff, as they can by getting rid of people that I guess that they don't see that are not part of their plans in the future. So I think it's, you know, again, 2020 draft pick, that's not bad for the Saints. Possibly getting some of this, of his bonus or his roster or his salary taken care of.
He makes a lot of money. He makes almost $12 million.
Yeah, I know, but he's, you know, he's one of the better ones. He's one of the, you know, he's one of the best pass rushers. So,
oh, by the way, Mecha Fredzilla said that you can – that you'll find five different Jeremy Shockey jerseys right now at the Black and Gold store, and a few Delvin Bro.
Ooh, Delvin Bro.
Delvin Bro is definitely one I would want, by the way.
Oh, yeah. He's killing it in Canada, by the way.
Yep.
Does that mean we're going to sign him back again?
Yeah, I'm going with no.
No. Garrett Grayson would be a fun one. Who was the left-handed quarterback for the Saints they had in the preseason?
Sean Canfield.
Yeah, he was terrible. He'd be fun. Johnny Patrick, if you want to go bad corner.
Johnny Patrick was on this podcast.
Was he?
Maybe he did Saints Nation. Maybe I
Baptiste
interviewed him.
Would be fun. The Pirate would be a great one. I don't even know if they made his jersey. Like, to be on the discount rack, they have to make the jersey in bulk, right? So.
Right.
So that's the key.
Adrian Arrington for me.
Man, camp superstar. One of the true Saints message board heroes of all time. Probably top five.
Oh, Mecha Fredzilla.
I'm pretty sure it's Mecha Fredzilla.
Well,
right?
Whatever. That's Fredo. That's Fredo from Twitter.
Okay. Nola Fredo.
Yeah. So now we know who that is.
Or Alfredo.
Yes, Alfredo.
So here's the thing with the Dolphins, as my wife has said. What did you say about the Dolphins when I asked you if you gave a shit about the Dolphins? She said, I don't give a shit. Astros are playing in 2 days. What would you give? I know you said you'd give up a 20, but if the Dolphins wanted both of the Saints' fifths this year or a fourth, like what's the round that you're willing to give up, Dave?
For this year or for next year? Or it doesn't matter?
Whatever. You could, either. I don't care.
I don't know. Third. I mean, I think a third would be fine.
Third?
No,
for Bridgewater, a quarterback.
Well, he's supposed to be the fucking next franchise quarterback.
I'd say they'd give up. I would say
a fifth.
I'd give up both fifths. What the fuck?
Again, I don't think that the Saints or any team need to give up a 2019 pick. But anyway, I would certainly go as high as a third.
I mean. The interesting thing with the Saints is they, even though they don't have draft picks, and we felt like they didn't have cap space, I feel like they're going all in as much as they can again. If the reports of Jared Cook getting a 1 year, $8 million deal are correct, and we totally forgot to they signed the kick returner from Minnesota, that we had never heard of before, but apparently is very good.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Somehow that dude has 5 punt returns for touchdowns in his career, and he's like 32 years old. I don't know how I've never heard of him. Like, he's the dude that broke Thomas Morstead's ribs in that playoff game. Remember when Thomas Morstead was like hunched over and could barely punt in that playoff game because he got drilled in the ribs? Well, that was the dude. And like, somehow he destroyed Morstead, and I didn't know his name. I should have hated him for life for doing that, but I didn't know his name. He's 32. I mean, when the Saints got him, I thought he was like a UDFA like 2 years ago, and he like had a good season, and the Saints were getting like some young, promising punt returner. And it turns out he was like a modern day Devin Hester, and I didn't even know.
You could have offered me $1 million and told me his name, and I wouldn't have known who the fuck he was. When I saw Cheryl, I was like, they signed the old coach of Mississippi State? That's weird. Is he going to castrate a bull? No, but it's interesting to me in that, you know, the Saints, Dave, they've made this commitment to special teams. They got a good punt returner. They got rid of Tommy Lee, who was terrible. They kept Will Lutz. They signed Chris Banjo. They signed Hardy. You know, they've made this commitment on – you know, yeah, and apparently Cheryl is a good gunner as well. So they've made this commitment on special teams to all the players that made the special teams great last year, and yet they fired the staff, which is just odd.
Yeah, it's weird. Hey, I got a bunch of questions on the chat. Do you want me to wait till the Twitter questions? Or
no, fire them off because we got to go to the Twitter questions. So fire the chat questions.
All right. So Jess LeConte. I'm sorry if I'm saying your name terribly.
What was that name?
LeConte. LeConte. He says, actually, this isn't a question. He just said, live off-season podcast, bold move. That's why I keep you guys around. All right. John Paluba asks, is Drew Brees' regression overrated, or is it actually happening?
That's a good question. Dave, your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm gonna go back to the Canal Street Chronicles archive to back to like 2010, back when people, you know, every off season since like 2010, people would say, "Oh, Drew Brees is he's declining." It's been 9 years since then, and Drew Brees is still around. He's still putting up gaudy numbers now. The gaudiness in his numbers now, though, is more about accuracy and completion percentage. You know, I don't know whether we're going to see Drew put up another 5,000-yard season anymore. I certainly think he could if he had better wide receivers or a more talented group of wide receivers. But I think I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. I mean, as long as Tom Brady is playing, Tom Brady is a year older than Drew Brees. As long as Tom Brady is playing, there's no reason why Drew Brees can't be playing. And actually, Drew Brees can play to be even with Tom Brady. Drew Brees would actually have to play a year after Tom Brady retires. So, but the question was about declining. I don't think he's got the arm strength that he maybe once had, but I mean, being a successful quarterback in the NFL today is more about, in my opinion, is more about accuracy and making the right decisions and, you know, yeah, check downs. And
well, it's funny that you mentioned, you know, like 2010, because I don't know if you know Andy Benoit. I got to give a shout out to our buddies at the Black and Gold Review, the Saints blog. Ryan from over there details, I mean, every tweet that Andy Benoit has put out since 2012, and he goes every year. I mean, 2012, 2014, 15, 16, 17. I mean, he's got about 18 tweets in here where Benoit like has a Drew Brees arm decline fetish. Like, I mean, he just references Drew Brees' arm decline and like Brees keeps putting passer rating efficiencies over 100 every season, and he just keeps, like, he's going on 7 years strong of talking about Drew Brees' arm decline. My thing is, so back to the question, of course he cannot make the throws he used to make. I mean, that's obvious. But you look at his efficiency, I mean, he has found ways to be successful, to lead an offense that is productive. And, you know, he may not be the player he used to be, but there is still a huge advantage of having Brees as your quarterback when you consider his pre-snap adjustments, his audibles, where he's going with the football, his accuracy inside 10 yards. So, you know, he may not be the cannon arm. I don't know that he ever was. He may have lost a little bit there, but I still think there's a huge advantage to having him under center.
Here's my thing about Drew Brees' decline. right after the NFC Championship game, and as we were raging against the officials fucking us, I was really worried about Drew Brees' decline, because you looked at him and you're like, he looks a little bit injured, and he's 40, and I really worry about it. But now, as all this information comes out, if I had told you going into the NFC Championship game, if I had told you Max Unger is compromised and is going to retire after this game, after this year, if I told you Max Unger is compromised, we know all the rest of the injuries on the offensive line, the Saints are going to lose both tight ends in the game, okay? Kirkwood's not going to play. If I had told you all that going into the NFC Championship game, wouldn't you kind of have expected how he looked? Like,
Yes.
So I don't necessarily – I think the decline is a little bit overrated, because the Saints had major fucking injury issues on their offense. It wasn't like they were healthy. And let's be real. If Philadelphia secondary hadn't been a giant garbage pile, the Saints would have had a harder time in that game with all the issues they were facing. And I just think – give them an offseason. Let them all get healthy. Let Drew Brees get healthy. You know, I think it can still be okay. And the thing is, clearly the Saints know what they have to do. They went out and got Cooks. They Unger retired. They got Easton. I mean, I'm not as worried about it as I was 5-6 weeks ago, if that's anything on the decline. So,
I got a couple more. Fredo says, does Gronk retiring mean the Irv Smith dream died before it even started?
I think that dream was dead before Gronk retired.
I think Irv Smith is going before 64 or wherever the Saints are picking.
Yeah, 60. So let's see.
Does Gronk retiring mean that Jared Cook signs with the Patriots instead of us?
I don't think so.
No, I mean, we talked about it just because this Jared Cook thing is a very weird Saints signing, in that usually the Saints don't sort of drag this stuff out as long as Jared Cook happens. But I just think I think he'll be fine. So let me.
I got one more.
Okay, go.
Juke Rule OK asks, Vikings have already given up on Cousins. Discuss.
I want to say, I told Andrew all last offseason, I said the Vikings aren't going to be as good because Kirk Cousins, no matter how good he can be, he's never going to be as good as 2017 Case Keenum. Even though Case Keenum was a one-hit wonder, Kirk Cousins is never going to be that good. And Kirk Cousins showed exactly who he is. He's just a compiler, just good enough to never win anything. Congratulations, Minnesota.
You really did. You nailed that.
I mean, it wasn't hard, but I'm right like once a year. Let's see. I got some questions on Twitter. Dave, are the Saints still the favorite to win the NFC South, in your opinion? That's from Dylan.
Hell yeah. Who's going to stop them?
Who's the biggest threat?
I think Atlanta, because I think you know Matt Ryan's probably going to be healthy, and they had a lot of injuries last year. But the thing about Atlanta, man, I think Dan Quinn is really, really teetering, and I think a slow start could get him whacked. So I think the Saints are still the clear favorite. This is another question from Dylan Andrew. More touchdowns next year, Cameron Meredith or Dez Bryant?
Well, Dez isn't on the team yet. I'm not ready to give up on Cam Meredith. We've got a – I'll tease that Ralph and I have a 7-minute for Saints tomorrow. Where we'll kind of discuss the Saints receivers. I'll just leave it there. But I'll have some
pay
more
$7. Thoughts. It's worth it. $7 a month. You get four extra podcasts a week. Do it.
I'll kind of share some more insight and thoughts at that point. But I'm confident Meredith can bounce back. I don't know that he'll have like a 50 catch season, but 25 catches, a couple touchdowns, I could see it happening.
This is from St. James. Does Jeff Duncan derive some sort of sexual pleasure from pissing off Saints fans and LSU fans? I swear every tweet he puts out is designed to make me angry.
Oh, God bless you.
Early front runner for tweet of the year.
Yeah.
St. James.
Yeah.
I got to say, like, the media... Oh, and by the way, props to T-Bob Hebert and the guys up in Baton Rouge for just raking Dick Vitale over the coals this morning. That was awesome. Find it and listen to it. I know we're not an LSU podcast, but most of you probably are LSU fans. It was phenomenal. I just think Jeff Duncan, he likes to play the adversarial villain for New Orleans, and that's the sort
of...
That's his shtick. That's his brand. And he does it, you know?
He likes to poke the bear.
Dave, this is a good question. Would you guys get more satisfaction with a garbage 2019 season from the Falcons or the Rams?
That's a good question.
That's juicy. That's juicy. That's juicy. Let me unpack this for a moment, if you will. mentally unpack this.
I feel like that's good for the open right there. That sound bite.
Jot that down. There's another one for you.
Save it for the spank bank.
For your own personal spank bank. Then you're welcome. By the way, you're welcome.
That was a little tease right there. By the way.
The Rams are the flavor du jour, if you will. So I'm gonna go with the Rams. Fuck the Rams.
Can I say something?
Even though it wasn't their fault, even though it was the referee's fault, I don't want to. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here. I want to make sure that our hatred remains laser focused, and it needs to remain 100% of the time on the referees and the officiating.
Can I say one thing? Can I tell the Houston Rockets to go fuck themselves? Their little tweet when they beat the Pelicans where they used the Tommy Lee play and they superimposed the Rockets logo and the Pelicans logo over it and said, we got the win in New Orleans. Hey, guys.
Oh, they did not. Really? When did they do that?
Yeah, they did that, what was it, last night. Hey, guys, you missed 1,000 consecutive three-pointers in Game 7 at home against the Warriors. You don't need to be trolling nobody, okay? It's just me. My wife gave me a dirty
look. That's my
wife.
My that's cold blooded though, man.
My wife.
Maybe it's cold blooded, but it was uncalled for. If they had won the championship,
might as well make a Katrina joke.
Andrew, this is from Inside Saints. Based on the tape everyone saw, what is Marcus Davenport's realistic expectations?
Oh, sky's the limit, man.
2022.
I mean, realistically, I think 8 sacks, you know, next year, I mean, that's a realistic number. I would love to see him get double digits. I really think he could be a star. I still think you look at his potential, man, it's off the charts. I mean, I think we saw enough on tape. I mean, we saw enough just watching him in these games that he is a freakish talent. And if he can put it together, I mean – the most recent guy I can think of where I just felt like, holy shit, this draft pick is a cut above kind of some of the other players on the roster. I felt that way about Teron Armstead when I first saw him play. And I felt that way about Akeem Hicks. You know, those are kind of the two guys where they really just, it was raw talent, but man, they just jumped off the board.
You gushed like a schoolgirl from Michael Thomas when you went to the Greenbrier.
That's true. Yeah, he was another one that really stood out. But I put Davenport absolutely in that category with those three guys. So I think realistic is 8, but I don't think it's out of the question that he's a year or two away from being a 15 sack guy. I think he could be that good.
Yeah. Here's a interesting question. Dave, you can answer it, but we can all answer it because it's good. Now that Nick Underhill has disappeared into the land of Patriots and paywalls, who is your number one Saints follow for Saints news? And if you say Jeff Duncan, you're dead to me.
Man, there's a lot of I mean, I'm all for this. There's a lot of Jeff Duncan vitriol.
He has you blocked, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah, I mean, like, you have not been listening to this podcast if you don't realize that I am not a fan of Jeff Duncan.
So who's the go-to guy now that Underhill's gone?
I've always liked even though I don't read The Athletic or subscribe to it. Nah. I've always liked
I was gonna say it might be Larry Holder if I could read his articles.
Yeah. that's the truth of it. Sorry.
Who is the go-to? Man,
it's tough. It's tough. The thing for me with The Athletic is I have a hard time paying for content for teams that I don't like. So they're like, you get all this stuff for The Athletic, but I'm like, I only really care about the Saints and the Pelicans. So like,
Mike Triplett. I would say Mike. Yeah, Triplett. I mean, he is a great dude. I think he's thoughtful in his analysis. In general, I think when he reads really good stuff from other reporters, he's not ashamed or afraid to share good stuff. So I think he's always been kind of a good dude like that. But he would definitely be my go-to.
I would say Triplett and Diana Russini.
I mean, she's not a Saints beat writer, but yeah, she's always breaking her news.
She has a direct line into the Saints facility because she breaks fucking 90% of the Saints news. You know?
Yeah, I think she's got naked photos on Sean Payton.
I don't, or he wishes. I don't know how that happened, but she's broken Brandon Cook's trade. She's broke. You know, all of it. So, more Jared Cook questions. Why hasn't he signed? How hurt were you? Who will step up and fill the gap left by unfollowing Mark Ingram on social media, players-wise?
I think that one's for Andrew, since he.
I don't really follow Saints players much. They're kind of insufferable. A lot of them.
Kamara can be good. Kamara can be really good on social media.
Yeah, there's only like two or three Saints players that I follow. I mean, Zach Strief is an ex-Saint now, but he's very entertaining. I would say I just recently started following Teddy Bridgewater, and he seems okay.
Mm-hmm. He does a lot of inspirational quotes. I miss the days of having every quote that every tweet that he would do, trying to figure out if it meant he was going to re-sign with the Saints. But now that he's back, I don't have to do that. So that'll wrap up today's episode. So we'll have another we'll have another new open next week. So that'll be exciting. And listen, pay the $7.
Angry Ocho says Cam Jordan Twitter for the win.
So thanks to everybody on the live stream. We appreciate it. It worked. We'll try it again next week, as always. Pay your $7. Become a patron. Become a patron and sign up for Patreon by May 1st. And you get a free beer koozie that has shipped to me via Dave. I saw an email that it's on its way. Everybody on Patreon on May 1st.
Get it tomorrow.
You get a beer koozie, and everybody that's on Podbean and switches over to Patreon, you get a beer koozie, and everybody that's new, you get a beer koozie. Basically, every fucking person that is on Patreon and is at least a $3.28 a month member, you get a free beer koozie. My wife is going to hate me because she's going to have to ship out like 300 of them, but do it by April 1st. You get a beer koozie. Do it. So that about will wrap up the show. I get to play the John Wick about to murder a dude on the dance floor music, which is exciting. Thanks to everybody in the live stream.
I feel like I'm at Buku Fest.
The only podcast where you can drop ecstasy and break open a glow stick and it feels like home. For Andrew, for Dave, I'm Ralph Marlboro. Until next week, the dance floor is closed. La 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 la.